New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and we're here to talk about the defense from that loss to the Eagles. A more pleasant conversation, I should say, than the offense is going to be probably. The defense did their job in this game. The offense and special teams kind of blew it. Joining me to talk about that is Bo Smolka. Bo, how you doing?
I'm good, Ken. How are you?
Always a pleasure to talk football with you. And a difficult game in a lot of ways. The Ravens blew a 9-0 lead in this one. A lot of things got wasted in terms of the efforts of the special teams in offense.
I mean, I sat there looking at this team. I thought possession after possession after possession, the defense just kept giving them a chance to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I go back to that third quarter, the Ravens had the ball almost the entire third quarter. The Eagles had six plays. They had 2-3 and outs. That's the entire scope of the Eagles offense in the third quarter. The Ravens had the ball the entire quarter, did not score because they had two drives that scuffled and then ended in missed field goals. And you watch that game and I kept thinking, like, the defense is doing time after time after time, the defense is giving this team a chance to win, but the offense and special teams didn't. And so here they are, they lose the game.
Very frustrating. Of course, a terrible day and night for Justin Tucker with a couple of missed field goals, a missed extra point, doinked off the left upright. One of the worst games of his career. He'd never missed three kicks in a game before. He's missed an extra point to lose the game to the Saints, what now, 6 years ago. He's had a few moments like that in his career that have been bad, but this was truly one of the bad ones for him. And there's never been a point where I felt more desperate, about Tucker potentially scoring points, but also more in the fact that we may be closer to the end with Tucker's career right now.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone saw that as the trajectory, that if this is the way it ends, that it just fell off so fast. I mean, they talk about that with running backs, and they talk about that with some players, but they don't really talk about it with kickers. And yeah, a kicker will tail off a little bit, but it's just been so dramatically different for him this year. It's just been shocking. And we talked to Marlon Humphrey in the locker room after the game, and he said, look, kickers do go through this, and we've been kind of spoiled because we've never been through this with Tucker in all the years that Humphrey had been here, obviously. And so that's just been, I think, the most shocking thing. And, out in the stadium, I know the cameras on the broadcast get to see that they show different views and camera angles and so forth. So I caught a view as I looked up and saw a picture of Tucker after one of the misses, and it's just such a kind of lack of confidence, it looks like right now. Like, I don't think he or anyone else really knows what's going on or how to fix it. And that's the unsettling thing. But John Harbaugh was asked again today at his Monday news conference about Tucker because it's come up time and time again. And he again said, look, Tucker's our best option. we scout out who's available on the street. Randy Brown, the kicking coach, does a job with this, and they've made the conclusion that there's no one out there that would be an improvement. And so this is who they have, and they continue to express confidence they can get it fixed. I don't know that they can, honestly, but it's been striking how dramatic the drop-off has been in him this year.
So it was really the last kick that he missed, which was the field goal that actually went wide right. The kick was perfect. I mean, the kick was perfect end over end rotation of the ball, exactly what you want. It went perfectly straight. He just aimed it right because he'd missed so many to the left. I mean, this is, I don't want to say it's classic. I thought there was a problem potentially with either the hold or the snap or something not being right from the Cook era, because there'd been a drop off in each of the last 2 years. But then you've got to really look at that and say, is it age or is it Tucker or is it some other component of the operation going wrong? And there are people who claiming that the snap is still crowded, that the hold is still crowded with Stout doing it. I'm honestly at the point where I don't really believe that's the case. I think it's pretty much on Tucker at this point.
I mean, I've heard that too. And as someone has made a good point that, look, they have Sam Cook on their staff. And I know Sam Cook can't be the holder, but if anyone is going to notice that and be able to fix it, it's going to be Sam Cook. And, he's watching those kicks as closely as anyone. And so I do think it's on Tucker at this point. I also know that someone had mentioned the idea that maybe it's just leg strength. He doesn't have the leg anymore. And, you know, he's getting older. He's 35. I believe he just turned 35, if I'm not mistaken. But I'll say this also. I watch him very closely every time he goes out for warm-ups pregame. And he goes out, there was his kicking stand, and he goes through his routine with his snapper and his holder, and they have the operation, as he calls it. And yesterday, I mean, he was 1 for 2, kicking 60 yarders toward the end where he missed to the right. And he made a 58-yarder going the other way in warm-ups. And that part of it looks fine. It's not like he's short on those kicks. Mm-hmm. Now, John Harbaugh said today, yeah, they've changed how they tactically operate now, in the sense that they're not going to just automatically send him out for a 57-yarder like they might have 4 years ago. But and Harbaugh said, look, in practice, he's hitting them. In pregame, he's hitting them. Something's not checking out in games. And they got to figure out what it is. It's costing them games. He's missed a field goal in all 5 losses, at least one. And, but that, I was struck that when you watch him in warmups, it's not like he's short from 60. He can get it there, and he's getting it there on kickoffs. And so the leg strength is there. There's just, at this point, there's something mental there, and you're right. He might've started that right, thinking he when he missed the one left, I forget which game it was. He said on the next one, he deliberately started toward the right upright and hoped it would drift back left. And it did, then ended up dead center. But that one, again, whether it's a matter of angling it to the right, his aiming point, if he starts messing with aiming points to try to compensate, like a golfer that's trying to play the slice, then when you hit it straight, you got a problem. So there's something not right, and there can't be anybody in the building that's very comfortable about any of it.
Right. You mentioned one thing earlier was Sam Cook can't be the holder. It is something that we've discussed earlier this year on this show is, they seem to have an overcommitment to personnel on special teams. The Ravens have often had players who could play defense and special teams. They've got some special teams only players this year. You know, honestly, Kane and Braid have both been that so far. And I know probably Kane or Braid would now come in and play in a game, given how thin the Ravens safety group has become, but pick another player then. I'm not sure that you couldn't, if you really thought the problem was the hold, that you couldn't bring Sam Cook back.
We were joking about that. We said, I mean, you're not playing Devontae Walker, right? I mean, you got Devontae Walker. You got these other people. Yeah. Look at Deontay Johnson. Didn't play a snap last night. Sam Cook could have been in there, right? I mean, we did talk about that. And, it's a fascinating idea, actually. If you thought that Sam Cook's going to come back and be the dedicated holder because he's so good at it. But it's not working. And whether it's the hold or the snap or just straight up Justin Tucker, it's a crisis. That's the word I used for it today. It is a crisis for this team right now.
Well, it's a fair statement. Let's get back to talking a little bit about the defenses. It certainly wasn't a terrible loss to the Eagles in terms of the opponent quality. The Eagles currently number five, and DeVoe coming into the game. They certainly looked like they manhandled the Ravens, I would say, fairly on both sides of the ball in the trenches. They were a lot bigger on the defensive line than the Ravens' offensive line, a lot more powerful and athletic, I guess is the way to do it. They're not necessarily all bigger. And then their offensive line really had their way with, I thought, with the Ravens' defensive front to an extent that no team has so far this year. Didn't still run the ball for a whole bunch of yards, but they were effective running the football.
No, they were. And, I mean, we always thought the game was going to come down. We were joking it might be a 2-hour and 20-minute game with the Ravens running all day and the Eagles running all day and see who runs the most at the end. And I was surprised when the game started that they didn't use Barkley much. Their first two possessions, Barkley got a first down touch and then not again. And then they're punting twice. I'm thinking, what are they doing here? And the Ravens for stretches kept Barkley contained, but it felt a lot like we've seen with teams with Derrick Henry. Like, you can contain him and contain him and contain him, but then suddenly he breaks one for 25 and that changes the game in a tight game. But that Eagles team is complete. I think they're complete on, you mentioned up front on both sides of the ball. Their tackles were really good. They were creating opportunities and just, They outplayed the Ravens up front. And there's no question about it. And, you know, I thought not having Michael Pierce, I thought Michael Pierce might be back for this game when they put him on, activated him to practice this week off IR. And John Harbaugh kind of hinted, well, we might get him back. I thought he might have helped in there. I don't know how much in the sense that he hadn't played in a month, and that's a hard ask to come right back into that situation. But he would be a good big body in there. But I do think they definitely won the game in the trenches on both sides. You're completely right.
He will not actually be forced to be back even for the Giants game. That's in 2 weeks, and he can take 3 weeks off, and then he'll be in the middle of the week. He'll have to be activated to the roster. But I'd be very surprised if he wasn't back for the Giants game. I think that this team needs him very badly. Travis Jones, he may be close to 100%. He still didn't have the kind of impact on the pass rush that he's had in this last game. Now, admittedly facing a very formidable front there, but he's usually the guy that drives the Ravens pass rush. It's the doubles that are generated and commanded inside that work their way outside. Now, not having Van Noy obviously means you've lost one of your good one-on-one matchups. Playing Owe 15 snaps, presumably because Owe is also nursing his way through some injury, also didn't help this team. But I didn't see Travis Jones have the impact in the middle of the line that he did for anybody except for maybe Matabike. Matabike had a decent pass rush game in this one, led the Ravens as I scored it with three pressures, which is terrible. I mean, you don't have anybody with more than that in a game.
First of all, Travis Jones, you're right. I'm not sure he's back healthy. He played more than I thought he was going to, but they kind of needed him to. And I do think he's probably not 100%, not able to be as destructive as he would be if he was 100%. I asked John Harbaugh about Owe and why he played 15 snaps and is there something he's dealing with? And he suggested it was simply that in their run fits, they like Tavius Robinson out there better. Mm-hmm. And Tavius Robinson playing outside and Malik Harrison playing outside is who they want in their run sets. And now we can have another discussion about whether Odafe Owe is a first-round draft pick. At some point, I did think they envisioned him as a three-down linebacker who would ultimately be an edge-setting run player. But
in both cases, Owe and Ajabo, they said, at the minimum, he's an outstanding run defender.
And they, John Harbaugh directly said today when I asked him, I thought the same thing. I thought, maybe he got game banged up and he's not able to play. And he said, well, in our run sets, we like Tavius Robinson in there. He's been really good against the run. So that to me, I mean, that's what he told us when we asked him. I think that explains the lack of use of Owe. But again, that says something there if they don't feel comfortable having him on the field on rundowns.
Well, it could be a comfort thing, and it actually could be a preservation thing. If you're without Van Noy and you're down to one pass rusher, then I completely understand overcommitting to your run defenders. And Robinson has been good. You know, there's no doubt about that. And Harrison is a good run defender, so you want him on the outside there. And I guess they got the few snaps they got from Ajabo, they mixed him up a little bit, but they were mostly with Owe that he was out there. The fact that they played Robinson 52 of the 56 snaps was to me a massive overcommitment in the other direction. You know, if you're a young player, that's good. I'm glad he can do that one time. I wouldn't want to do that on a regular basis to any player at any of the rotational positions, which are all the ones, you know, along the front, particularly against a big line like this, where, you know, there's a lot of physical exertion per play. And there's probably some injury risk, honestly, that goes with that. That may have been a reason why they didn't want Owe in there for a lot of snaps in this one. So I suspect there's more to it than what Harbaugh said.
There may be. There definitely may be. And again, but that's a lot of work for Tavius Robinson. And if you watch the when you watch the Barkley touchdown run, he's just completely sealed off. Robinson is. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Owe would not have been, but maybe Robinson isn't if he's only played 20 snaps at that point instead of 46. I don't know. But I figured Robinson was going to be on the field a lot when Van Noy was inactive, but having him out there almost every single down was something.
Yeah. You would figure Owe would get more than 8 snaps for starters. And I thought Isaac would play some on passing downs. He got 0 snaps. So that was very strange. Owe is not worth the roster spot for 8 snaps on defense and 0 on special teams. Adisa Isaac, you can make a case for 24 snaps on special teams, I suppose. And you make do with a player who might be less than Owe as a pass rusher. I'm not even sure that's true at this point. But where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, it just feels like it can be there at any time. And that's what they're banking on. Isaac, so far, they just haven't been able to get any kind of run out of him starting in August, really, with being out and not being, he's never really been up to speed the whole year. Ajabo has obviously not been the guy that they thought he would be. And I don't know that they have shut the door on that ever happening or not, but he just can't find himself onto the field. And even yesterday, or the game against the Eagles, when they have, I mean, Van Noy's out, they're down linebackers. And what did you say? He played 7, 8, 10 snaps or something. Eight, that yeah. is all he got in there. So he's just not the guy that they wanted. I think Owe is, I think they still see the destructive potential with Owe. But, and you might be right. He may be nursing something that Harbaugh didn't mention, but he did specifically mention Robinson's run defense as the reason Owe didn't play as much.
And I'm sure that's a valid part of it as well. So anyway, I'm not don't want to bang on Harbaugh for this here. Look at the playoffs and what happened to the Ravens in this game. Serious setback in the division and wild card races. They went in with a pair of 3-point favorite games that they really needed to hold serve on, at least one out of two. You know, Cincinnati, a 3-point favorite at home versus Pittsburgh, and the Ravens, of course, 3-point favorite at home against the Eagles. They didn't get either of them after Cincinnati lost the shootout to Pittsburgh at 1 p.m.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was one where the Steelers might trip up. You got to go to Cincinnati and try to win. And I know the Ravens did it. I didn't see the Steelers offense producing like they did, but this Bengals defense has been charitable all year. And the Steelers did. To their credit, the Steelers just keep winning. And it's put the squeeze on the Ravens for sure. Now, the Steelers still have that 3-week stretch of Chiefs. I forget the order now. It's Chiefs, Steelers, Chiefs, Eagles. Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, I believe, mm-hmm. 3 in a row. I mean, that's going to be a tough, tough stretch for them. But they have the upper hand, obviously. They're the ones with a game and a half lead and a game in hand against the Ravens. It puts all the pressure on the Ravens in the game in Baltimore. And frankly, I think it's in the Ravens' heads by this point. They've lost, 8 out of 9, I think it is, against the Steelers. So I think it's in their heads. I think it's in the heads of players. I think it's in the heads of Harbaugh. And they're going to have to figure it out. Or, I mean, if the Steelers were to win here in Baltimore, it could even be over by that point in terms of the division race. But those were not ideal results, as you said. So right now the Ravens are, yeah, they're looking more like a wild card team. And I was joking, my son's living in Pittsburgh now, and I was joking with him. I said, it looks like it very well could be Steelers going back, Ravens going back up to Pittsburgh for a 6-3 playoff game or something in January. But they got the Giants coming out of the bye. They have the Steelers here. And if they win those two, they're going to feel a little more certain with their footing, but it's they've made it hard on themselves for sure.
Yeah, that this was an opportunity to potentially win outright against the Steelers, and now their chance to win outright is down. They probably need to get a game now. Of course, a couple weeks ago, I guess it is now, maybe it was last week only on Thursday, that their loss to the Browns really brought the Ravens back into the race. And so if they were to lose again to the Browns, you know, this coming Sunday while the Ravens are off, that changes things dramatically, because that cuts the game down to Ravens have the tiebreaker if they win the matchup against the Steelers. There is a funny thing coming up, though, for folks out there in terms of the scheduling with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know that it will be in the Ravens' best interests to have the Steelers lose to the Kansas City Chiefs in Week 17, because in Week 18, the Ravens are dependent upon the Chiefs taking out the Broncos potentially to maintain a wild card spot. And were that to come down and the Chiefs have no motivation to win that game, I am sure they would intentionally tank it. I mean, I would, if I'm in that position, I certainly every second rate player, just not putting Patrick Mahomes on the field is usually going to be enough, especially a very motivated Broncos team that needs to win to make the playoffs.
Well, that's the crazy thing in that last week. Cause it, you know, and it's so funny because baseball, you'll often hear baseball managers say, well, you know, we respect the integrity of the game. We're going to go out and play we're going to play to win this game. But I mean, if you are set up in football to you can rest your guys, football is a different animal, and that, yeah, they may do it. They very well may do it. And, but again, I go back to, I think it was Parcells, you are what your record says you are. And this is where the Ravens are. They've put themselves in this kind of mode of uncertainty. It's completely on them. It's not just on Justin Tucker. It's on an awful defense at times, and but it's who they are. I mean, their flaws have created this, and you don't want to be in that last week needing help. And yeah. But that's the table they've set.
If you look at DeVoe, which is probably the most DVOA, the most optimistic about the Ravens, because the Ravens are the best 8-5 team of all time, according to DVOA, or one of the best. I think they might be the third best 8-5 team of all time, but two of the others have won the Super Bowl. And they dropped from a 73.1% chance to win the AFC North prior to this week to under 35% today. So the chance was more than cut in half. But the fact that they still have approximately a one-third chance to do it is fairly remarkable given the inconsistent recent play. Obviously, they had the two early losses, good recovery from that, and then they've lost three more ball games, and it's has head spinning right now in Baltimore.
Well, again, you go, I mean, the Raiders loss in the second week of the season is one they gave away. And I know they played very well at times in that Chiefs game first week. It seems like a million years ago, and likely is out of the balance by a toe. But you give away the next one against the Raiders, just a giveaway. And then obviously a giveaway against Cleveland, the first day Jameis Winston starting, and they dropped the interceptions, including the one by Hamilton. And I mean, those are just giveaways, but they all count. You only get 17 of them. And so that's the thing. There's the margin for error just isn't ever that big. And especially if you have a team like the Steelers who were playing well.
I've been watching some of your tweets, Bo, and I know you've had some interesting things to say about the secondary, and I completely agree with some of the positions you have, but they've finally gotten to what seems to be the right combination in the secondary. And if you think about it, had they made the move, now they benched Williams, if they'd also done the same thing and really cleaned house at that moment, benched Eddie Jackson and never turned back from either one of them for that Cleveland game, I think they win that game with Ardarius Washington and Hamilton on the back end, given what happened, you know, or even not given what happened, just taking your chances with a whole nother set of things happening.
We didn't see that. I mean, everyone knew that Marcus Williams hadn't been playing well, but no one, I don't think, saw him being this in uniform, active, complete benching in Cleveland. And then, of course, Eddie Jackson's in there, and he was exposed and gave up a couple touchdowns. And remember, that was also one of those games where I think the one touchdown on the slant to Tillman, Adafayo is still coming in motion when the ball snapped. They just were never getting ready. They were never getting set for plays. And I remember asking Zach Orr one time the next week, like, how is this happening? More, how does this happen that the other team is snapping the ball and the Ravens aren't even in position yet? And he's, you know, yeah, I think part of it was on Zach Orr. They're getting calls in late. There may be some indecision. There is some confusion. And a lot of that has been settled. A lot of it has been settled. And to your point, I mean, I've said for 2 years now, I thought this defense was better with Kyle Hamilton near the line of scrimmage, because I would watch the way he would destroy bubble screens by shedding a block of a tight end or blow up a run or get out in space. He's one of the most fundamentally good tacklers they have. And I always thought they were better with him near the line of scrimmage. But now you look at it and you realize he's playing near the line of scrimmage, which is great, but they're giving up bombs behind him. And that's not happening now. I wrote this morning, in the first 11 weeks, they had given up 50 plays, pass plays of 20 yards or more, which was the second most in the league. Yeah.
Zero this week.
Zero last week. Yeah. And zero last week. Yeah. It's now 2 weeks in a row, they haven't given up any. And that's since they made the change. So none 2 weeks ago, none this week. I watched Kyle Hamilton back there. And they just look more settled. He's directing them better. Ardarius Washington has been an improvement to whoever else was back there. And they just look more settled. They look more composed. You're not seeing the scrambling at the last second. And maybe that's part of Hamilton. Maybe it's part of Zach Orr coming into his terms more. But they're not giving up the big play. And you do that, it changes things. And so that, I think, you're right that maybe if they make that move to Ardarius Washington before Cleveland, they win that one too. Of course, Kyle Hamilton has that game in his hands and he drops it. And that's very atypical for him.
And Eddie Jackson had his hand in this twice. He also misses a tackle on the third Browns touchdown. It was a nightmarish game for Eddie, unfortunately. And one of the last games he may ever play in the NFL. I got another player to talk about though. Marcus May was available this week. And the Chargers, of course, lost to the Ravens, moved up, in the claim order. Do you think that the Ravens had a claim in on Marcus May as well? Because my guess would be yes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. It would make sense if they did. I think, you know, they never stopped looking. So I don't know that for sure, but it would make sense that they did. That's an interesting point.
Completely potentially change the matchup against the Eagles to just follow this train a little longer. If you can play Hamilton close to the line of scrimmage, you take more away from the run game and you take much more away from this heavy personnel that Philadelphia was throwing out there. A lot of 12, some 13, but a lot of 12. And there you really want big nickel on the field versus 12. That's the ideal package defensively to play against 12 personnel. And the Ravens, you know, just did not have that available to them because they don't have anybody to replace Hamilton on the back end.
No, and I'll say this. I mean, and they're fortunate that Hamilton is one tough dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got hurt in the game. Obviously, he was down. He's had a real tough shoulder injury, or they called it a concussion protocol. But that was the one time they had their long drive that went down the field. And by the time they got the defense back on the field, he had been cleared and was back out there. But that's twice it looked like he was going to really be in a tough spot. And I think in both those situations, he missed a total of one play. I told someone else that he's the kind of guy you need to like strap to a chair to tell him he's not playing. Mm-hmm. And they are great. They are fortunate that he is as tough as he is.
How long you've been covering this team, Bo? Since when?
Since the Cundiff year. 2011 was my first year.
All right. So in 2001, when Tony Siragusa was the year after they won the Super Bowl, 2001, Siragusa got knocked out of a game. And I think it was the Pittsburgh game, but it might've been another one. And he had to go to the hospital to get checked out for something. And for whatever reason, whatever very serious, I don't remember if it was a neck injury or whatever it might've been. They said, okay, you know, x-rays are negative. And his first question is how quickly can you get me back in the game? And he literally had to leave. I think he had to leave the premises to be looked at and then come back. So very weird situation, but similar player there. And obviously one's really beloved in Baltimore. I'm sure Hamilton is going to have every honor this team has to bestow by the time he's done. He'll be one of the guys who gets a Super Bowl ring in perpetuity as long as Bisciotti is owner and they're winning, you know, as a Ring of Honor member, for instance, like, you know, Ray Lewis.
Yep. I mean, he is the guy they're going, they should, he'll have to get paid at some point, but there's no one better to pay in this team right now than him. And so he's a complete player. He's everything they want in a player. And like I said, that especially now is that they don't have much else behind them, because we're looking there last night when he goes down and you're thinking, wait a minute, Marcus Williams isn't even active. It's going to be Bo Brave or Kane or someone coming in here at that point. But he's so tough and he's so reliable. But I do think that this shift, they decided we're better off putting him deep and putting our Darius Washington in there. And we'll give up something not having him in the line of scrimmage. But everything about the way they're playing defense has improved with him at the back and the play in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly very like the 23 team now. The 23 team was great safeties, mediocre corners. They didn't have Humphrey the whole year. So Ronald Darby, who is a serviceable journeyman cornerback, but nothing special, folks, nothing special at all, came in and gave up 5.9 or whatever it was yards per target on the year. And Brandon Stevens came out of nowhere to have a year that projected him to earn some real money after 2024. And Arthur Mollett, frankly, another guy who's a journeyman and played most of the snaps in the slot last year, along with what Hamilton did, of course. They did a great job of covering that up under McDonald's scheme. They just didn't have the personnel on the back end to do it this year. They had much better cornerbacks, in my opinion. Obviously, having Hamilton up front is part of that, but having Humphrey back and playing as well as he's probably ever played, and then having Stevens, who's having a down year, but still is the total quality of cornerbacks is much higher than it was in 23 when they had a Triple Crown defense.
Yeah, and you know, and they added Tre'Davious White, who's an interesting case in that he couldn't get on the field with the Rams. I mean, he had been a game day inactive, I think, for a month straight. The Ravens trade for him, and he was in two end zone plays, high leverage plays against the Steelers the first week he was with the team, and got, you know, he was alternating series with Stevens last night, as best I can tell. I didn't go back and watch the game again yet, but he's on the field a lot for this team. And, you know, they got Wiggins, who's coming along as well. Humphrey, you're right. Humphrey's playing very well. And so
20 snaps out of White last night, by the way. So
20.
Yeah. So he's playing about a third or a little bit more of the snaps in total. Still Stevens is on there, more snaps. I think that's the way they'll continue on. Let me redirect this a little bit.
Sure.
When Hamilton went to the dressing room and you thought maybe he's not going to be back, what was your guess as to who was going to come in at safety? Were you Kane or Braid, or were you, it's probably going to be Stevens back there? Because they have made that move before, as recently as I believe last year in the second game of the year, maybe? Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Braid, but only because I thought Kane wasn't even, I can't remember if Kane hadn't gone out of the game yet at that point. I don't think Kane got hurt and left later, but up until when they drafted him, they thought he was going to be a safety. Eric DaCosta said we see him as a safety in the NFL. He was a safety through the OTAs last year until injuries at corner. Then he moved him back at corner. And like you said, he came on really strongly and was a corner. He told us at one point, I forget when, it wasn't any time recently, that, you know, every now and then he'll take reps at safety, but I don't think it's been in a while. And so in my mind, I thought it would be Braid. But now that they have Tre'Davious White, you could certainly make the argument that they're a deeper, more veteran, more experienced team if you just go with White outside.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And drop Stevens to safety. At the time, I thought it might be Braid, but I could have seen that happening.
Yeah, they have some options in theory that are emergency options. They don't have any option that they'd want to go to in the regular course of play right now, unless they're doing something in practice, and they really should be, to figure out who's next man up.
I mean, honestly, it probably should be Stevens, and you're probably right. They should probably be doing that, having Stevens take some snaps, especially if they're not going to trust Marcus Williams back there. And John Harbaugh said again today, well, you know, we still believe in Marcus Williams. I had a great chat with him, and we think when we need him, he says when you need him, he'll be ready. We'll see about that. But I think you're right. They do have to have some other options ready. And I think Stevens going back and taking more reps back there would probably be a good one. And remember, Ardarius Washington was originally going to be like a slot corner, but they like him at safety too. He's undersized, but they love the fact that he has a nose for the ball and he plays bigger than his size. It's still a challenge. I saw him on the sideline last night trying to defend, I think Godert it was, on the sideline. And he's just a little guy, I guess, a big guy. And that's just math. Mm-hmm. But he's tough. I don't think, you know, they, at some point the thought was Ardarius Washington was kind of a, maybe in the nickel corner, him and / Mullett / Hamilton, but now he's playing every snap as safety.
Stevens won probably that nickel job so many times. It's not even funny. Ardarius is way outplayed Mullett. They just put Mullett on IR. I don't really see a place for him on this team. I don't think he'll be back this year. I even as strapped as the Ravens are, I think the only way he comes back is in case of additional injuries to try to get. But I honestly don't see a place for him with the other players they have. You have Humphrey as a slot corner. And if you had something else happen, if you could get additional safeties, Ardarius Washington would be a much better choice at corner if you had to keep Hamilton on the back end.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, obviously having White and now Stevens, or Stevens and now White and Wiggins, that does allow them to play Humphrey inside, which is what they've always liked to do anyway. He's physical, and they also like him against the run, playing in the slot. And he's had a great year, to his credit. So he kind of, it does become the number one slot option with the other guys outside. And then and Mullett, I mean, it's now at least another 3 weeks and you run out of days. And I know John Harbaugh has asked about him today. Is it going to be a season ender? And he kind of did the math. He did, well, I'm not sure, but I don't know what would be left for him to come back for by the time he's healthy enough to come back.
Well, the option they have and that they've used in the past, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, honestly, is just to have a prophylactic activation of him, where they did this with Malik Ham last year, where they activate him, practice him for 3 weeks. If they happen to need him during that time, they can activate him. If they don't, then they revert him to IR and he's done for the year. So my guess would be that's what will happen. Probably around playoff time, he'll start practicing again, and we'll see if they need him. Got to move on here. I want to talk about the front seven and changes to that, because we had two big personnel changes. Roquan coming back to the lineup and Van Noy being out of the lineup and what that meant. We talked a little bit about it outside linebacker, how they moved around, but just want to go briefly through this. I'll whip through it, and then we'll talk a little bit about the implications of what happened here. So Trenton Simpson played 22 snaps at weak side linebacker, 39% board, 30 snaps, 54%. They alternated series actually at will throughout the game. So it was a strange situation a little bit for Simpson, who appears to have lost playing time during Smith's absence. I'll talk about the other inside linebackers here briefly. Harrison returned to playing exclusively outside linebacker. He was off ball a couple times. If you watch film, still an outside linebacker on those plays where they have two other inside linebackers and they're playing uncovered on one end. So that's still technically an outside linebacker spot he's playing. And then I want to talk about, I think that's the other inside linebacker. So just in terms of the changes there, were you at all surprised with the division of labor with the return of Smith?
Well, I mean, like I said, I asked John today about Chris Board, because I didn't realize, and again, I watched the game live last night. I haven't gone back and watched it again. I didn't realize they were alternating series to series. I did look at one point, it looked like Chris Board was on the field for the entire series. At one point, I thought they were alternating run down, pass down, and Board was coming on passing downs. But it's clear that Simpson hasn't exclusively won the job, obviously. And you know, John said, "Boy, Board's a veteran guy. They like his athleticism to an extent." But if Simpson were overwhelming or the guy they thought he would, they were hoping him to be, that wouldn't be there for Board,
right? And you have, they're incented for Simpson to be their guy because Simpson's a second year player. He's on a 4 year deal. Board is a year to year guy. He might be signed for two, but I believe he's a year to year guy. So you know, whatever you get out of Chris Board is icing at this point, but the cake needs to be Simpson for that to work. Same thing, same relationship, by the way, should exist between Adisa Isaac and Ajabo in terms of who they're more incented to play well. They've got every incentive to try and figure out what they have with Isaac quicker. It's exactly what held them back effectively with Ajabo, was, you know, not knowing for his rookie year, then wasting the year for a you know, one activation or whatever it was. I think it was two activations. Actually, one was only a snap or two, and then he was in for that last game of the year. But, you know, it was a complete wasted year and not a red shirt year in the sense we think of that you get it back.
No, and like I said, Isaac's been hard because he's been hurt since literally like April. I think he was hurt before he got here, couldn't quite get going. And now it's just a matter of trying to find spots for him, and there's not much there to do. But yeah, I mean, he's another one. They have to know what they have with him. And Simpson, that, you know, Simpson, they got that. We all thought that, you know, once they drafted Simpson, yeah, they had signed Smith, they draft Simpson, the writing was on the wall for Queen. Simpson's the guy. And then in that game against Pittsburgh last year, he flashes in that last game. And I know a lot of starters weren't playing, but he showed the speed. He got the sack. He was all over the field, quite honestly. But in the past 3 weeks, they've decided they're going to bring Chris Board along and see him as much. And there's obviously certain things they feel he's doing more effectively. And I thought it was coverage, which is why I thought he was in those situations. Right. And again, I haven't broken it down as much. I didn't realize it was series to series,
no, but it is notable
it's notable that Board's getting more snaps than Simpson last night.
Yeah, it is more snaps is notable, but the series to series point that you just mentioned is very significant, because that means they're not sure whether it's passing downs or running downs, and it could be both, because otherwise they're not making that. In fact, Simpson's been a pretty good tackler this year. He only had one tackle in this game, but has had a good ratio of stops to missed tackles, which to me is like kind of the strikeout to walk ratio for inside linebackers, is how many times you get a defensive win on your tackle versus how many times do you miss the tackle. And obviously it's pretty much the most important thing for an inside linebacker, but he'd been very good. And looking at Queen being missing, for example, Queen's been terrible at that this year. Mm-hmm. We don't really miss that part of Patrick Queen, certainly.
Yeah.
But Simpson has been good, and Roquan's been even better. I'm very surprised, I guess, that we're seeing Board take he must be doing something really well in practice such that he gets a promotion of this type in season. Because you have some players who aren't really effective. They're not getting demoted in season. If you want to look at, you know, start with maybe a Fa'alele. I know they really believe he could be something more than he is right now. But if you're really looking at where he is right now, it's not very impressive. And Simpson, if you're going to give Board some snaps, you have to believe that same thing at least, or worse.
You're right. I think going series to series, you're right. It does say that. It kind of speaks to an open competition for that spot, not just a strategic thing in a down and distance situation. And that's interesting because Simpson is supposed to be the guy.
All right, let's talk the defensive line for a second. Chris Wormley active as the fifth DL, but as far as I know, I always compare my snaps to other sources, and the game book says he has three snaps. I can only find one, and then I look back at one of the kneels, and he was in for the first kneel, which I assume means he was in for the second kneel as well. Which, by the way, if you're Chris Wormley and coming off the practice squad for your elevation game, and they ask you to go play two kneel snaps of your three snaps, you're into the game. It's somewhat telling. But they really effectively went through this game with only four defensive linemen again, something I think is a huge no-no against any team. And I just can't believe they'd try against the Philadelphia Eagles with their massive front.
Yeah, and again, I honestly kept thinking, I thought Pierce was going to be activated, and then I was surprised that he wasn't. But it was going to be a problem. I mean, Wormley, he's kind of been there. And we played quite a bit in the one game. I forget which one of his first activations. Yeah. That front was going to be a challenge. And as I said, I don't think Travis Jones is 100%. I don't think he's been 100% for like a month, but, it was going to be tough. That's a really good Eagles front.
62% of the snaps for Jones, 81% for Madubuike. I'm sorry, 75% for Madubuike, 81% for the season for Madubuike. Folks, I can't tell you how unusual it is to have a rotational team like the Ravens overplay a defensive lineman to this degree. This has been the guys who played over 70% in a season for the Ravens. And like I said, Matabike's at 81 now, have been so uncommon. It's not even funny. Haloti Ngata has been in the high 70s before. Kelly Gregg's been over 70, but there really haven't been many. I mean, the Ravens rotate at those positions. They want to stay fresh. They want to stay, you know, being a great run defending team. This has been one of the ways they've been able to do it is by rotating there. Matabike, playing him as many run snaps as they did when, you know, he didn't do a lot versus the run. He seemed to be getting blocked pretty effectively on a lot of the individual run plays. And in our notes, that kept coming up. Of course, a lot of players were getting blocked on a lot of those run plays effectively.
Yeah. And I like I said, I thought the run at times, but to your point, I mean, at some point it reminded me in that fourth quarter, especially it reminded me so much of what we've seen from the other side with the Ravens. When some point you're just gonna, the defense starts to get off the pile a little more slowly and the offense is feeling it. And you just start to see the fatigue of these guys and the Eagles just keep coming, and Barkley just keeps coming, and he's like Derrick Henry that way, and boom, then he gets the one big pop. Now you can argue whether they had a false start on that play, which it looked like they did, but it's tough. And Matt, you're right, Matabike is playing a tremendous amount because they will usually rotate those guys in. It's unusual to see that kind of workload for one of those guys up front.
All right, let's move on to a few other things. Ravens did a pretty good job on third down in this game, 4 of 12. They did allow a fourth down conversion on a tush push. I still don't think 5 of 13 is too terrible against an Eagles team like this. Third down has not been the sort of problem it was earlier in the season since the two safeties had been back there.
No, it hasn't. If I remember, there was one of them I was just starting to write last night about Chris Borden. I think he had one of the good stops on one of the third downs last night, because I just noted he was in there on this third down, and it looked more like a run play. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's interesting. And again, it must have been a series situation. But he was active in there on that third down. I thought their third down play overall was pretty good. And you're right, that's a tough, especially in short yardage situations. That's a really tough team to get off the field. I thought they held up pretty well in those situations.
I think that was the fourth series of the game where they had the run for minus one on third and one. So you figure they're trying to run it on third and one, but they're going to run it again on fourth and one, probably by tush push. And they got a nice minus one stop that forced the punt. That was a very important play in the game.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
All right. Hurts, I thought, was probably one of the few things that was, you know, kind of a dull-edged sword for the Eagles. Didn't really create a lot of big plays, didn't really give the ball away, obviously. Ran the ball somewhat effectively, but not particularly well himself personally. He had a couple decent runs, but he also had a couple negative runs as well. But the big thing he did is he didn't give up the ball away, and then the Ravens held him without any big throws in the game. So it wasn't like he had any throws at either end of the spectrum. Which I think is probably net unfortunate for this Ravens team, because they probably would have liked to put this game more in Hurts's hands than in the hands of these two lines.
Yeah, that's a good point. They did, you know, first of all, they were able to, again, we talked earlier, they were able to limit big plays. There were no big ones. They did get Brown over the middle a few times, and I was surprised. I thought they might just pound that all night, because it looked like it was there, and that's always been kind of the soft underbelly of this Ravens defense all year. But they generally contained him. I remember there was one, I think, that was batted down. It might have been a third down play. Yeah, it would have been nice to get them in more situations. And again, we were talking about this earlier today, that also comes down to the missed field goals factor, in the sense that they may play that game differently if they're behind. And what are they going to do if the Ravens have, you know, Lamar Jackson was animated that they got down there in that third quarter, especially on those two drives, and not only got no points, but got down inside the red zone and weren't able to get a touchdown. Well, if you turn one of those into a touchdown and maybe the other into a field goal, or even both into field goals, the score changes and maybe the play calling of the Eagles has to change. But it never did, because the Ravens missed the field goals and now the Eagles are still playing from ahead. And as you said, the ball, then it's in Barkley's hand, and they're running the ball up as much as they want, and they don't have to worry about Hurts. Now, I still think Hurts and Brown over the middle was going to be a problem, but they didn't have to do it. They didn't have to put the ball in that situation.
what was really nice about the Ravens' reaction to Smith was that he only had 16 yak in this game. Now, Smith, if you don't really know him as a receiver, he's built like a running back. He's made to break tackles in the open field, to be physical, frankly, with other people. He's just a very different kind of receiver than you normally get. But 3.2 yak per play is the safety's doing a really good job tackling. And he was most of every throw to him was some sort of slant. Those can go for a lot of yak sometimes. And he had a couple that were deeper zone plays. So really nice job, frankly, of limiting. Even though he's 5 of 6, 66 yards on 6 targets is a hell of a, you know, an afternoon. It's still, honestly, I think it was a pretty good effort trying to contain Smith in this game.
I just think they, I think they're overall these two days of, or two last two games of just not giving up this big play. It's that they're keeping it in front of you. They're keeping it contained. And that's made a big difference. I mean, that it's everything. Like I said, the word I keep coming back to is settled. They just look more settled. And it comes down to Hamilton in the back starting it, in my opinion.
Nate, you're extremely level-headed about this and are one of the voices, I think, is much more rational in terms of looking at the future. Can you take something positive from this Eagles game and say, obviously not from the change in the standings, I'm not asking you to do that, but in terms of what the Ravens look like as a football team and say, yeah, that could be better going forward, or this could be a harbinger of some positive things?
Well, I think I look at this, the secondary. I mean, I think the secondary for two games now. I do. And they're going to see the Steelers again in 2 weeks, and they're going to have to deal with Pickens, and they're going to see Houston. They're going to see good teams. And it looks like they've just figured something out that it took them 11 weeks to do. And that's not to say Pickens isn't going to get behind Wiggins for a long pass sometime, but it just looks there to me. And again, it's, you can't really, obviously the less than the non 20 yard plays is a measuring thing, but there's an intangible there, and they just look more, it looks like a more confident group. And I thought one of the interesting things last night, talking to Marlon Humphrey after the game, and, you know, these guys aren't – Humphrey's been one of the most outspoken critics about their own play. Early in the year after one of the losses, he said, look, this is not a Ravens brand of football. We all have to look at ourselves in the mirror, myself, starting with myself, blah, blah, blah. And last night he basically – I'm not saying he called out Eddie Jackson and Marcus Williams, but he basically said, look, we've made the decision. We've decided if you want to play ball, you're going to be in the field, and if you don't, you won't. And that's about as direct as he can be. And that's what they've done. And they've put players on the field that are, they just look more, they look like a more confident group. And you don't see, and it might be also Zach Orr growing into his role. It may not be as simple as that, but you don't see as much half a second before the play, 9 guys rushing to get in position like you did 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. And they're not giving up the big play. And I think they're probably tackling a little better. There's just that part of it. I think they have a lot to play. I thought the defense played really well, honestly. I still think that got outplayed by an Eagles defense that also played really well. But I thought you can leave that game feeling optimistic about the secondary and the way they've looked, not just in that game, but the last couple of weeks.
And I guess if I were to pick something else that I'm projecting forward into next week, it's that, or into, I guess, 2 weeks from now, is the fact that they should be a little bit healthier. And they've really got to take advantage of this bye week in a big way. Michael Pierce being back will help this team tremendously, because it'll mean they'll have one of their big men on the field every single play defensively if they want to. They can have two if you got some sort of a short yardage situation, but they'll have either Jones or Pierce on every single time. That's really been missing from this defense. I think, you know, the fact that just having Van Noy back would be big. I'm not one of the people who's in favor of picking up a premium pass rusher at the trade deadline. I would have been in favor of picking up another veteran pass rusher at the bargain basement. You know, another guy you can sign for the vet minimum. He plays week to week, kind of like Ngakoue did, hopefully a little bit better working out than Ngakoue, but you know, somebody else who can be that backup pass rusher you need, because right now it does not look like this team is going to trust either of OA and Isaac. So they might want to go back to that well and see, is there another pass rusher out there?
They would. Yeah. I mean, they might do that. I know there was time that there was talk of them. They had been interested in bringing back Calais Campbell, who's not quite that guy as an edge linebacker, more of a lineman. But I thought so too. I thought they might make a play even for Za'Darius Smith, and that would have cost more than what you're talking about. Ngakoue's now been here twice, and it's kind of looked the same both times ultimately. Mm-hmm. But you talk about the bye week. Travis Jones, this is going to be a good week for him, because like I said, I don't think he's been real healthy for a month. And he's when he was healthy in midseason, he could be a really disruptive force. And it just looked like maybe the explosiveness for him, the push, the drive, if he's got a bad foot against some of these really good offensive linemen, was limiting him. So getting him back healthy, getting Pierce back healthy, Matabike with the workload he's had, getting off his feet and not having to do this for a week. Van Noy comes back. I mean, like these guys all say, look, after 13 weeks of this, no one's 100%.
Right.
And it's a long time getting to this bye. So they all need it. And but I think especially those guys you mentioned it'll be a big help for them.
Yeah. It would be a really nice situation if the Ravens even already knew their fate going into week 18. Now, part of the problem is they can't really know their fate positively going into week 18 without a lot of things falling into place. They'd have to beat the Steelers. Steelers have to lose another game in division. You know, they can't win the division easily going into week 18. They can, but it's not easy. It would be really nice if they could take that week off. It does not look like it's going to play out that way. They probably are going to be playing either for seeding or for the division, or possibly even to be in the wild card at all in week 18 against the Browns. Not the end of the world to be in that position, but also not the optimal situation to have to not be able to rest some guys that week.
Yeah, I mean, they've had that luxury a couple times, and it is nice. And I know people say, oh, they're flat coming off the layoff. And especially in football, that is a nice luxury. I don't see a way that they're going to be able to do that unless it was a weird setup and they knew they were locked in to say the sixth seed for some goofiness. But right, there's so many moving parts. They got a month to play. They've got the Giants. They got the Steelers. They got to worry about themselves just getting to be in a good position for week 18 first. But yeah, I think they'll be playing for meaning in that last game.
All right, going to go through a fairly limited set of packages used by the Ravens in this game. That there really is not a whole lot of variation in their play anymore. They did play three snaps of Jumbo with four defensive linemen on the field, three runs for -2 yards. Doesn't really mean anything. You can guess when they might have been in that base defense. They played 13 times, so basically the Eagles forced them into the base defense a lot when they put a sixth offensive lineman on the field. They otherwise didn't do it a lot, even versus 12 personnel or versus 22 personnel, but they did do it when the Eagles put that sixth offensive lineman on the field. Did well in those cases, 4.5 yards per play on those 13 snaps.
And that's with Harrison playing as an outside linebacker, correct?
Yes, it would be Harrison and Robinson on those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big Nickel, they had zero snaps again, of course, and we know the reason for that. They don't have another safety, and they can't bring Hamilton up to the line of scrimmage to do that. Would have really helped against the Eagles, but, you know, spilt milk at this point. 31 snaps of standard Nickel. It's probably the Ravens' weakest package. It did happen to be the highest yards per play. Now, there's a small sample size. I wouldn't draw too much from that at 6.5 yards per play. But it also is one where the Eagles had a physical advantage over the Ravens with a big tight end in the slot versus Humphreys. That's not exactly the best matchup for Humphrey. Not terrible, but you know, you'd rather he's in there against some sort of wide receiver, whether it's a big slot or even a shifty guy, and you had options on how to deal with that player.
I mean, then that's where they had envisioned Hamilton being in that guy, lining up against a tight end like that. Or Kelsey, or that's kind of where they saw Hamilton being another spot where I think they're better near the line of scrimmage. But you said, I mean, they have him deep, and that's you trade off one for the other.
Really hurt, by the way. Marcus May had an interception in his first game with the Chargers, by the way, this weekend. So just
he had four or five, I think, from Kirk Cousins, right? So
tough game. One game, they played one snap, a rush nickel that just happened to be a sack. And by the way, we're going to get to this in the second part of the show, but most of the Ravens' rush success came when they blitzed Marlon Humphrey in this game. So it's some interesting things there, but they got a sack for a 6-yard loss. That was actually Humphrey and Smith who shared that out of the rush nickel where they had three outside linebackers on the field. They played four snaps of dime. This has been a staple in recent weeks. The four corner dime is now what they're in. I don't like it entirely. For those out there who haven't heard me talk about this before, the Ravens, for almost their entire history, have played a three safety, three corner dime, which effectively puts a safety, a bigger body, in at the weak side linebacker spot in what would be replacing Trenton Simpson, for example, this year on a normal snap, or replacing Bart Scott in past years, or Jamie Sharp, or whoever it might have been in the very distant past. But they don't do that anymore. They have a four corner dime. This is something that's typically reserved for 10 personnel. If you had a choice, they don't have a choice. So they have the personnel they have. They typically are lining up man on man. I didn't notice once Stevens was in there at kind of a will position. Tight end was closer to the line of tighter to the formation, and they were closer. They looked more like a regular dime, but kind of a weird situation. Allows them to play 2 over 4 a little bit easier in terms of how they want to cover. Also kind of telegraphs what you're doing in terms of a man component to your defense.
Because again, Hamilton was that dime guy, right? They would bring him up at times and have Jackson and Williams deep before Ardarius Washington had worked into the rotation. But again, they're fully committed to Hamilton deep now.
Yeah, they have, I think, by the way, either Kane or Braid would be a pretty reasonable dime candidate. By the way, I don't think either of them is a back end guy, neither. But I think Kane or Braid. We saw Braid, particularly during the postseason, had an amazing summer of getting the backfield, making plays against the run. Mm-hmm. It was terrific at that. And then he had a couple penalties on the back end and whatnot that weren't as nice. He's a guy who I could see jumping into that dime spot if they had to fill it or felt like they had to play it differently against some team because they just would be too light with four corners out there on the field. But they do seem to be fairly committed since all of the four corners now with these two safeties have played pretty well the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that. Bray did do some – I mean, he's not a big guy either, really, but he did do a good job against the run in those preseason games. You're right about that.
Let's see. Anything else to say about this? I think that pretty well covers it. Well, the one thing about the Eagles played extremely heavy in this game. Now, when I say extremely heavy – they played the Ravens medium light. Okay, Ravens by far the heaviest team still in the National Football League. Did a short on that a few weeks ago. If you look for heavy personnel groups, that takes you through how much heavier the Ravens are than every team. But 1.71 tight ends plus fullbacks plus OL6 per play for the Eagles in this game means they were in there a lot of 12, some 13, and a lot of OL6 they were running. So it's definitely a team you have to prepare for differently and have a different set of packages ready to go against them. And honestly, the Ravens hamstringing with having Hamilton only at back end, it hurt them in this game a fraction of what it helped them to have Marcus Williams out of there.
I mean, that's a choice they have to make, right? And they probably could have anticipated that's a conscious decision to make in that way. And they, you know, and who knows if they would adjust that if they see them again, it wouldn't be till the Super Bowl, obviously. But that's a choice that's made. And you do it. Every move comes with a cost, and that's a cost you make. You put Hamilton back, things get settled back there, but you're smaller. They can attack. And again, not having Pierce also changes how effective that is. And you mentioned those four, you know, it's a smaller defense.
Now, you were here for 2012. That Denver loss in December 2012 was awful. 34-17. They had a bunch of players sitting out for that game. Marshall Yanda, a bunch of others as well. They lost that game. They really looked like it was going to be a very difficult road back into making sure they even made the playoffs. But then they beat the Giants in one of the biggest games of the year, came back, and they had that chance for revenge against Denver with a, first of all, a different group of players who are actually active for the game, but also the chance to change some alignments for the Mile High Miracle game. So it'd be really nice if they got, well, of course, it'd be kind of nice if they got back to the Super Bowl period, but if they had a chance to realign for the Eagles, I think they might try and do it differently. I think they might try and pick up a safety between now and then.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And they would theoretically have Michael Pierce back, and that would change how they might look at things. And it would, to me, it would be really interesting to see if they change the, this is not the offensive show, but interesting to see how they, what they would do differently offensively. If you see that team again, I always find it interesting. In divisional play, it happens every year, but seeing how the teams attack a second time relative to the first time, it's kind of fascinating to see how things unfold.
We've seen some remarkable things this year, but we'll leave them for another show. Bo, always great talking football with you. Tell folks where they can find your material online, or maybe even contact you if they have a question about football.
Sure. I'm at PressBox. The website's PressBoxOnline.com. I'm opining always on Twitter. My handle is at BSMOLKA. So we've got, updates from the castle and game coverage and so forth there on the website, and my opinionating and so forth on Twitter.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, thanks for listening as always. If you want to do the show a favor, write us a 50-word, 5-star review. We always appreciate that. That drives a little traffic to our site. Otherwise, just tell a friend about the show. We're always looking to pass it along by word of mouth. A bunch of incredible, loyal listeners, and we really appreciate you tremendously. Bo, thanks again for coming on.
All right. You're welcome.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, but it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.